Hey, I'm Steve Gambrill, and I'm thrilled that we have this time together. I pray that God would help you to understand how great He is and how great His plan is for your life. Come on, let's enjoy God together.
Hey, good morning, church. Well, we are so excited to be all together this morning. And I'm especially excited because I was away and I came home and then I had to quarantine for 14 days. And so I am free, people. I am free. Who the sun sets free is free. Indeed. And so I'm really happy that we're all together. And, you know, we are all together in the Word today as we finish out this series called The Letters of John. We began this series all together, every campus joined together from Belfast and Warsaw and Bradford and Leeds and our online campus. We all started this series together. Yeah. And so we love today that we're all actually together and we're all listening to the same Word as we close out this series, The Letters of John. So wherever you are, whether you're in Belfast or whether you're in Leeds or whether you're at home, we want you to open your Bibles and actually come with us in the Word on this journey to complete out what we've learned so far.
Excellent. And when we started at 1 John, we opened up together and looked at how the life of God, the infinite life of God, took place before John. John, the writer who penned these words, he was used by God incredibly. And when you think about John's life, John was the disciple whom Jesus loved, the closest one to Jesus. And here we find John, he's living now 40 years longer than any other of the original disciples. And he'd seen so much hardship. He'd seen persecutions. The Roman Empire destroyed Jerusalem. And you can't even imagine the things that he had witnessed. And yet, he writes so much about the love of God. And the revelation he has is incredible. And when we looked at that together, we looked at the agape love of God. The agape in the Greek literally means the unlimited, the incredible love of God without limits, that's unconditional. And as we looked at that love, John writes how that love can be let loose in every area of our life and how perfect love casts out fear. And now we want to look at his last letter, the third John, which he wrote, scholars tell us, after the book of Revelation. So this is the very last words that he is writing, which even makes it more important. And as he pens these words, as he writes this letter to us, we want to examine how we can put it to work in our lives. This being the shortest book in all of the Bible means that we can get through it and we can unpack it together. So I want to look at how we can put the word to work. And it's that phrase, putting it to work, that is so important that we want to emphasize today.
You know, all throughout these letters, that's exactly what John has modeled. He has modeled how you put love to work in the face of a situation where you might not feel like loving. He's modeling to the church how you put your trust in God and you stand on the truth of God and you put it to work in a time of adversity. So these whole sequence of letters is really showing us and asking us to put the word to work in our life. And that's why we want to land on that phrase with you just for the next few moments. How much are you? How much am I? How much are we putting the word to work? You know, how we approach the word means we will get certain things out of it. You know, we can all approach it differently. We can see this word as kind of like a pick and mix counter. Maybe they don't have one of those where you live. But over here in good old England, we have this thing called pick and mix, which sounds great. But when you see kids sticking their hands in all the different places to get sweets, you think maybe I don't want to pick and mix anymore. But it's basically a counter where you get to pick what you want and don't have what you don't want. Maybe we treat the word a little bit like that pick and mix counter. Or maybe your approach to the word is that it's your occasional kind of place where you go on a vacation and escape and read about some promises that make you feel better. Maybe it's like a night light. When things are dark in your life, you switch the light of the word on for hope and seeing where you need to step next. How we approach the word determines what we get out of it. And that's why today we want you to see this actually as something that actually goes to work, that actually the word is a worker.
That's good.
And it's not just a worker, it's a fully paid for, assigned to your life worker, which is actually very incredible. When you think about it, all of the tools inside here, all of the lessons inside here, somebody paid for. You didn't pay for, I didn't pay for, but somebody like John went ahead and wrote a letter and paid for that so that you could take that word and work it into your life. Or Abraham, or any of the heroes of the faith reader, or the stories of David, all the things that they left for us to read are those letters those words that actually are workers. They work. And if you put them to work, you're going to see the benefit of that in your life. So here's the question I want to start off by asking you right now. How much work have you given the word to do?
Oh, that's good.
At the moment, we have some work going on at our house, in our garden, and every morning shows up on our drive a car with three workers in it. We already paid for them. They know what they're supposed to be doing. They come with their toolkit, but they sit on the drive at like 7:30 in the morning, and they're waiting, first of all, for their cup of coffee, but second of all, to be let into the backyard of our house. They're waiting for us to give them something to work on. Yeah. I've paid for them. They're fully ready. They're fully skilled and fully equipped. Yet until I let them have something to work on, there's no point them being there.
Right.
That's what it looks like when we don't put the word to work.
Right.
Fully paid for, assigned to your life. And yet it's not working. So my question is the word of God in your life just self-employed? I use it when I feel like there's something that I need for myself. Is the word of God in your life a part-time employee? I use it every now and again. Is the word of God in your life unemployed? It has nowhere where you're asking it to work. Because our job, our aim, is that we would all understand today that we need to put this word to work full-time. It needs to be a full-time employee. Listen to this in Luke 6. It says, "These words that I speak to you are not mere additions to your life or homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundation words, words to build a life on. If you work the word into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who dug deep and laid the foundation of his house on bedrock. When the river burst its banks and crashed against the house, nothing could shake it. It was built to last. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you are like a dumb carpenter who built a house but skipped the foundation. When the river swells and comes crashing in, it collapses like a house of cards. It's a total loss." Listen, this is not a Bible study today. This is not us opening a scripture with you so that you feel better afterwards. This is an opportunity for us to say, this is a word that needs to go to work in my life. That's
so
what John wanted us all to do. Put the word to work. So, where do you put the word to work? Well, the first place you must put the word to work is on you.
Yeah.
It's on me. That's the first place that has to go under construction. And so what area of your life right now needs to have the word work on it? Is it an attitude? Is it a confession? Is it a way of thinking? The word can go to work, but you first of all have to let it in and let that area of your life go under construction.
Right. So good. So let's look at how John does exactly that, because he has let the word of God work on him for such a long time. And now he's unpacking that for the next generation. He's about to let them know how they can put the word to work. And he commends Gaius, his friend, who has putting the word to work. And as John writes to him, he's thinking, how can I pass this on to him and help set Gaius up for things I can't even imagine? Him being elderly and fatherly, he's now thinking about the next generation, dealing with challenges and circumstances that would outlast John. So he's setting them up by writing this. Let's let the word of God roll its sleeves up now and actually go to work in our lives. John writes this, "The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." Okay, let's just think about that. Just as your soul prospers. The word for soul that John uses is the Greek word psyche. Psyche is the word that we get psychology from, which means the study of the soul. And so here's John talking about the soul being the totality of our emotions, of our intellect, and of everything that we can think or imagine. It's that entire soul realm. And, you know, for centuries, different philosophers and scientists and artists have studied the nature of the soul. And here is John focusing on it because John's trying to help us understand today that in the world that we live in, it is so easy for our soul to get sick. And so we want our soul strong. How do we get our soul strong? Well, Gaius was beginning to understand how to keep a soul strong. And John, as a father, is writing to him saying, hey, keep going, son. You're doing great. Keep your soul healthy. Keep your soul strong. That's the key to last, like I've lasted, John's writing about, and all the things that he's endured, and yet he still loves God so much and is hopeful for the future. That's because he was putting the word to work in his own life. So now he's saying to you guys, keep your soul prospering by letting the word of God take your emotions and develop your emotions into a place of peace and strength and harmony. Gaius, keep your soul strong because then your body is going to be strong. Don't let your soul be full of anxiety and worry because that will be a cancer that literally can rob your soul of so many good things that are happening. And John then even goes on to say this, which I love how he makes this association. He says, nothing could make me happier than getting reports that my children continue diligently in the way of truth. You see, there's a joy when your soul is strong that John is trying to get us to understand. And here's John talking about this joy that he has as a spiritual father. But where can we put the word to work in our lives so that we can have more joy in our career, in our occupation, in our university, in our studying, and all the practical things that we do in life? Those are the areas where we have to put the word to work in our lives. And it's that that's so important. The persistence, the continual diligence. And that means we have to keep chipping away. We have to keep progressing. It may not happen overnight. Joy may not come overnight. But as we continue diligently, the peace of God begins to flow through us so that we would have no greater joy than seeing the work of God flourish in those around us.
And we all have to go to work on our lives. We all have to have areas of our life under construction. And some of you might be like, well, I feel like I've been under construction for so long. You know that sign that sometimes you see, work in progress? Well, newsflash, we all are a work in progress. Yeah. No one is the finished article.
Right.
And I love that the encouragement here is like, keep going.
Keep going,
continually
son.
Do
right.
it. Keep doing it. And so today we want to encourage you, keep working the word into your life. Keep working on the area that you feel is still under construction. Listen, Rome was not built in a day. And so we need to understand that those changes won't happen overnight. And
right.
so keep the word at work, fully employed on working on you, working on
right.
me. The other thing that I love about this is that I want to talk to us about the word working now through you and through me. If it works on me, now it can work through me. And maybe you go, okay, well, what do you mean by that? Well, there's an interesting thing that happens in this letter that I want to lift out because maybe it's something that we wouldn't actually pay attention to. Let me read it to you as John begins to commend these same people for the way that they have taken care of those that have come through their town that are carrying the work of the gospel. Those that are going as a missionary to another town, another place, he's actually going to spend quite a bit of time actually saying to them, what you're doing is so good because you're helping the word go
right.
to work.
Yeah.
He says this. He says, dear friend, when you extend hospitality to Christian brothers and sisters, even when they might be a stranger to you, you are making the faith
so
visible.
Good.
They've made a full report back to the church here, a message about your love. It's good work you're doing, helping these travelers on their way. Hospitality worthy of God himself. They set out under the banner of the name and get no help from unbelievers. So they deserve any support. And when you support them, you become their companions in spreading the truth. Here's John lifting out something that they might think is just a normal thing to do, but he's saying you need to understand what you're doing
right.
is crucial
right.
because of through you, the word continues to go to work. And church, I want to lift that out today for us because I want to let you know that we also in our time, on our turn, have a responsibility, not just to work the word to work on us,
right.
but to make sure that
right.
the word continues to work through us to as many places as the word word needs to go to work.
Right.
He makes the point that when you partner with those things that get the gospel out there, you're making faith visible. And we need in our world the faith that we know works, the faith that we know has made our life have a foundation. We need that faith to be visible. Now, in their time and in their day, the people that were doing that and making faith visible were the traveling missionaries that came through their towns. So they took care of those men, those women, so that they could go on and do what they needed to do. In our day, that looks different. In our day, we can get the word out through online church. We can get the word out through some printed brochure that we send out. We can get the word out through books or through music or albums or worship. We can get the word out through our programs we put in our small groups. There are all different ways, but the point that John's making is when you do that, you make faith visible, and we need a commitment to be those who make sure that the word gets to work through us, that we become the host of that responsibility. He uses the word there, hospitality. I love that word. Maybe you think of that word as, you know, having people over, feeding them. That is a way that hospitality is actually shown to people. But this word now, the root word for this word in the Greek, hospitality, it actually, the definition is to move something upwards. And I love that thought, that when we decide to be those that help get the word to work wherever it can go, then we get to move the gospel, we get to move the message upwards into the next generation, into the people around us. And I just really read that this week and read it again and just thought, wow, I'm so kind of convicted and encouraged at the same time that in my life, through my life, I want to be someone through my generosity, through my acts of, you know, prayer, through my actions, I want to be one who actually helps the word go further. You know, it says when we partner with those things that take the word to work beyond our life, we actually become companions in the reward, companions in actually the spreading of the truth. It reminds me of when we were raised our kids, and you know, I would go and speak around the world, and I would leave, and my kids would be asking me, you know, what we're doing and why we do it. And I remember sitting down with our children and explaining to them, I didn't use the term hospitality, but explaining to them we had a responsibility as a family to let the word work through our family. And if that looked like us sowing into a ministry or paying our tithe into the church or supporting a great charity that spreads the gospel, or mum herself going and preaching the gospel around the world, that we were going to be those that let the word work through our family. And I remember when we described that to our kids, I said, you know, and then we all benefit with the reward, with the harvest. And I made a point that every time I would do something at a church or an event, and I would have, there would be an appeal moment, and people give their lives to Christ, I would ring home, I would tell the kids, guess how many people we led to Christ tonight? And the kids would say, how many did we lead to Christ, Mum? And I would tell them how many gave their lives. Why? Because our hosting as a family meant the reward was all of our reward in spreading the truth. And I love that he's making this emphasis here. He's saying, listen, when you host, when you put the word to work through you, you are making sure that the word continues beyond you. Church, we are committed to let the word go beyond us. That's why we have online. That's why we ask you to, you know, sow into the kingdom of God. Why? Because it says in that passage there, unbelievers are not going to take care of this. Think about that. There's a lot of things that the world will give their money to, but the world are not sitting at home thinking, how do I give my money to something that's going to make the word go to work? That's our job. Jesus came and he was the word in flesh, but then he said to the disciples, now you make sure the word goes further. And now John's saying to his disciples, now you make sure the word goes further. And today we're sitting here saying, hey church, we've got to make sure that we make the word go further. So the word works on us, but we also need to be the hosts so the word can work through us.
So good, y'all. And of course, John doesn't stop there. He then goes on to unpack it. Hey, this is what happens when you don't put the word to work. And if we don't put the word to work in our lives, the gospel will get stuck. It won't be able to spread forward. And it's crucial right now that we engage with the word of God and we let the word of God move through us. And so John names somebody, and it's going to get real and it's going to get personal. And he's committing pen to paper to say there's one follower of Jesus that is not putting the word to work, and he names him. His name is Diotrephes, and he writes this in verse 9. Earlier, I wrote along I wrote something along this line to the church. But Diotrephes, who loves being in charge, denigrates my counsel. And if I come, you can be sure I'll hold him to account for spreading vicious rumors about us. And if that wasn't bad enough, Diotrephes not only refuses hospitality to traveling Christians, but he tries to stop others from welcoming them. Worse yet, instead of inviting them in, he throws them out. I mean, we don't need any Diotrephes among us today. We don't need the Diotrephes spirit among us today. Those who were holding back the good things of God for themselves and refusing them to share them with others. Here's Diotrephes being named and shamed, and John is going to deal with him. And it's this that I wanted to focus us on, because if we can make love visible by our hospitality, then we can make love invisible by our lack of hospitality. Do not make the love of God invisible. We have a responsibility, every single one of us. And you may not think that your significant acts have this power in them, but I am letting you know they do. You have the power to make faith invisible. Don't do it. Let's not let the love of God disappear from our generation. Let's make it reappear. And then, you know, I've thought about this in Diotrephes' life. I mean, Diotrephes was failing. He was failing in this area of hospitality. You know, and when you have failure in your life, that's a bad thing. But when your faith fails, that's even worse. And this is why this is important to John, because John doesn't want any of us to contribute to having faith failure among us. So let's flip it. Let's make sure that the Word of God is working so that when we can spread this power of hospitality through us, and then we don't throw out the things that God is doing in our generation. That's why we celebrate every time people come to Christ. I mean, last week on our Leeds campus, we were thrilled to hear about 7 people giving their lives to the Lord. And we always celebrate what God is doing amongst us as a church, because that's the Word of God in action, moving through us. And that's why we're intentional about this.
So we have a responsibility to let the Word work on us. We have a responsibility to be those that somehow, in any way possible, allow and help facilitate and host the Word working through us.
Yeah.
And then finally, if we do those two things, we'll find that the Word has worked in us.
Yes.
And that's the last thing that John is commending them for, that the Word is working not just on them and through them, but in them.
That's right. So let's read what he wrote. He wrote this, and he said in verse 11, "Friends, don't go along with evil. Model the good. The person who does good does God's work. The person who does evil falsifies God and doesn't know the first thing about God." So to model the good, that means we simply need to do the good work of God. And the model part, the aspect, is the result of letting the Word of God work in our lives. And that will transform us to be a model for others, a model for people that we know. Our friendships should model the harmony of loving God. And, you know, our relationships, whatever they are, in our work situation, in our colleagues, in our schools and universities, they have to model the good work of God. And this is an essential time for Christians to model this good work. And John knew that. And that's why his last words were modeling this to Gaius. Gaius, remember, you are a model for generations to come. What you're doing counts. It matters. Your kindness counts. Your love counts. And that will produce more joy and more truth when you realize and you embrace what it means to model the good work of God.
So, church, we want to encourage you today to put the Word to work. How employed is the Word in your hands? How employed is the Word in your life? We want it to be fully employed. Mm-hmm. And we want to be those that use the Word to work things out in our lives, but use the Word and put it to work in the lives of so many more. I want to thank every single one of you that is generous enough to contribute so the Word can go further. Every single one of you that takes the time to be a host of the Word so that it can go and travel and reach more people. I want to thank us as a church for being in the Word together. together and actually being willing to say, I'm going to go under construction. You know, that's a brave thing to actually decide. And as we bring the message to a close and this series to a close, there's so many lessons in these letters of John's, right, from our loving to our trusting to the truth to what we anchor our life to. And we're simply saying, let's not just do a Bible study, right, of the letters of John, right, but let's, like John says in these scriptures, put the word to work.
Hey, thank you so much for watching. We pray to God that you've been impacted by how great God's word is, by how great God's plan is for your life. But I do want to say, if you need prayer for anything, then drop us a line, drop us an email. We would love to hear from you so that we can pray for you and just continue on this journey of building life together. Have a great week, month, year ahead.